The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may proclaim your praise. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everyone. And since it's Father's Day, I would like to take this time to make the case that good fathers are like well-watered trees. Yes, trees. Given three of our scripture readings for today pertain to trees. Even the psalm. In our psalm for today, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and shall spread abroad like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age." And in Ezekiel, we see a sprig planted so that every kind of bird will live in the shade of its branches. Winged creatures of every kind, we are told. Likewise, in our gospel, Jesus says of the mustard seed, or the kingdom of heaven, that it will grow and become the greatest of all shrubs, so that the birds of the air can make a nest in its shade. And so trees are important images in Scripture because they represent shade and protection and safety, a safe place to gather, which is a dynamic I personally witness every evening because we have this family of quail that walks along our block wall, and then one by one, they'll jump into the apple tree in order to nest for the night in safety. Likewise, trees are a parable for what God calls on us to be as God's church in the world, a welcoming home where people of every kind can feel safe and gather together. And individuals in Scripture are also likened to a healthy tree, given we're told of this in Psalm 1, that the person who delights in the Word of God is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. But so I've always wanted to make the case that trees in Scripture reveal much about God as our Father and as us as his children, and God's redemptive plan for us. From the decision to go against God's will in a garden by eating from a tree whereby sin entered the world, to a decision made in a garden to hang on a tree whereby sin was taken away from the world, to the fig tree that Jesus curses for bearing no fruit, in order to teach us the importance of bearing fruit, to the roots of Jesse fulfilled in Jesus Christ, as described in Isaiah 11:10. Trees are used in Scripture to teach theology to us in the form of being useful for the study of God and the relationship between God and the universe. And since we're now well into our discussion on trees, I return to the premise of well-watered trees. What do they have to do with good fathers? And I believe that this notion of trees spreading out like a cedar has much to do with our understanding of family trees and genealogies. Genealogies have always been very important to the Jews, and in recent years, genealogies have become important to people around the world, you know, with like Ancestry.com and everything. But for the Jews, they recorded and traced the names of their fathers back through generations, given they wanted to remember their forefathers and identify with the patriarchs, especially the famous ones, you know, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also Moses and King David and so forth. And we do likewise now, you know, through venues such as Ancestry.com. You know, we search for prominent forefathers. Given, I don't know about you, but when I did Ancestry.com, I did not look to identify with the medieval peasant who lived and died as a stall mucker to a struggling farrier. No, I wanted to find a forefather I could name drop. But so I had to go all the way back to William of Orange in 1650. And regardless of what anyone knows about William of Orange, I can name drop and have him recognized. But honestly, I was more excited to find out that I was 1% European Jew, given I've always loved the Old Testament patriarchs and the prophets and the apostles and, of course, Jesus. And so I wear that 1% of European Jew in gratitude. The point being, we look to identify with good fathers, hence the origination of family trees. But not all of us are so fortunate as to have had good fathers. My own father was not a healthy person, and I was very fearful of my birth father growing up. But when I was a teenager, my parents got divorced, and my mom married my stepfather, who was, in fact, a healthy person, and he was a great role model. He provided for me, though I be not his blood daughter in the flesh. And he taught me to sail. Some of my happiest memories are of sailing on San Diego Bay, you know, the time spent with my stepfather, and I grew to trust him so much that if I had a really important matter to discuss, I would go to him first above all other people. And when my stepfather was diagnosed with lung cancer, I remember standing in the small X-ray reading room in the hospital, and it was just he and I and my mom, and he asked me to take care of my mother because this was his main concern. And I had opportunity in that moment to say something people at times may wish they had been given a chance to say, but they were not. And that is, I was able to say to him, "You are my real father." Because blood is not always born. Sometimes we elect to gift such relationships, just as Jesus has gifted us his blood that we may belong to God's family. And as a result of Jesus gifting us his blood, we've been grafted, as Paul describes, into the Jewish tree. Paul speaks to us of this engrafting of the Gentiles into the Jewish tree. And he talks about this in Romans 11, this welcoming in of all people into God's family, which isn't unlike that image of the birds of all kinds that we read about today in Scripture. All people have been welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And Paul elaborates on this, describing that God permitted failings on the part of the Jews in order to invite the Gentiles to be grafted in as wild olive branches, to be nourished by the olive root. The olive root being Jesus Christ, and the branches two groups, Jew and Gentile alike. Ephesians 2:14 teaches about this by saying of Jesus, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In other words, this was the goal of Jesus Christ, to unite the world under one tree. Given Jesus says to us, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." But so any failings on the part of one group was intended to unite and redeem both. And Paul warns the new group, the wild branches or Gentiles, to not be haughty in their new status, because as humans, we all fail at times. And Christians have failed on the world stage, big time. But likewise, for those of us who have fathers in the flesh who may have failed us, herein lies our hope. God wants all of us to have one father, and it isn't Abraham. It's the one true God. One of the most beautiful names for God in Scripture is told to us in Hebrews 12:9, where it states, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live?" And I love that our Heavenly Father is called the Father of spirits, for that is what He is. He's the Father of the eternal part of us, the part that no one can ever take or truly harm or ever end. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "And the Spirit returns to God who gave it." Similarly, Jesus taught us upon dying to say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." You know, our spirits return to the Father of spirits, and there is no safer place to be. The world will fail us, but the Father of spirits will not. And all people, including our young people, need to know the Father of spirits so that they too can feel safe and secure no matter what. Last Sunday, Father Fred spoke about family, church family, and how important it is. Given our gospel reading was about Jesus looking at the crowd sitting around him saying, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Which means look at the people sitting around you, because whoever does the will of God is our spiritual family. And especially also our fathers, given we're talking today about fathers because it's Father's Day. But men who do the will of the Father, they are our faith fathers. And the reason I'm bringing this up is the children that are going to come tomorrow for Vacation Bible School, they may not have healthy earthly fathers or healthy parents, but those who are serving alongside of Jeremy have opportunity to be that example for them. And it may be hard to discern from the outside who has healthy or unhealthy parents, because people would have looked at me as a child and thought I had it good because my physical needs were met. But I was in fear all the time. God grant us the wisdom to not assume who the suffering children are. I have a grandniece who's being raised in a single-income family that at times can't afford to buy their groceries. But she's growing up wealthy because she's so dearly loved. And this is the message our young people need, that they are dearly and unconditionally loved, and though that the world may fail them, their heavenly Father will not. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And this is why Vacation Bible School matters so much. Through fathers in the faith, these children will see glimpses of the Father of spirits. June 5th was the saint day of Boniface, who was born in the year 680. And Boniface is remembered as a bishop, a missionary, and a martyr. He is called the Apostle to Germany. And as such, he was a faith father to many. He's an example of a forefather that one could wish to find in their family tree. And in the account of his life, we are told that at the age of 5, he listened to some monks who were staying at his family's house, and the monks were speaking about missionary work they had just completed. And Boniface was so impressed that he resolved to follow their example at the age of 5. And then, at the ripe age of 7, Boniface convinced his earthly father to send him to a monastery school. And the rest is history. In fact, historian Christopher Dawson estimates that Boniface had greater influence on the history of Europe than any other Englishman. A single conversation that a young boy overheard from godly father figures, aka a group of monks, sparked a lifetime devoted to God, whereby others were nurtured in the faith on a vast scale up until Boniface was martyred on the day of Pentecost at the age of 79, while literally still bearing fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Boniface died at 79, teaching others about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that man was like the Energizer Bunny for Jesus. But so we see that Boniface is living and dying proof that godly fathers are like trees planted in the house of the Lord who flourish and even still bear fruit in old age. Good fathers are like well-watered trees. I rest my case. Amen.